Think about the word responsibility for a second. It means, to me, to respond with ability. If you're not responding with ability, then you're not being responsible. You don't have responsibility. It's quite irresponsible to be blaming other situations or other things or other circumstances in your life for what is going on, because then you don't have the option of responding with ability. You're just not responding. Taking responsibility for anything that's going on within you or to you or in your relationships or on your job or whatever, no matter how difficult that seems to be, it's crucial for you to do it, not because you want to blame yourself. Because the blame part is just meaningless. If you've got cancer, you've got it. If you're going through a divorce, you're going through it. If you're broke, you're broke. Whether you blame yourself or blame somebody, it doesn't change any of that, all right? The fact is that in order to correct it, what you have to say is, maybe, just maybe, I am creating this for myself within me. And if that's the case, just if, all right, so you don't get yourself all tied up with blame, then maybe if I change these things, I can do some things about it. And that's really all I'm talking about here. Here are some of the things that you can do to change the conditions of your life. And while they don't fit neatly into nice little categories and rules and laws that always apply on a linear sense, try them anyway. Try not thinking hateful thoughts. Try forgiving the people in your life that you feel have damaged or hurt you. Try getting rid of revenge as a motive in life. Try believing that the miracles that are out there are things that are happening because they're supposed to be happening. Just try it. And when someone sends you some anger, some hatred, try sending them some love instead of just responding the way you always have. And just see if you can't not only change some of the things within your own life, but you'll see other people around you almost shifting their way of looking at you. They say that when Christ would walk into a village or when Buddha would walk into a village, their very presence, just their presence, would raise the consciousness of people around them. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it does to me. When a really special, special person is around, they're in the room with you, they have an aura. Just their presence there does something to change the atmosphere of the room. That happened to me with Ken Kies, who wrote the Handbook to Higher Consciousness. And he was in our living room, and I noticed that the children were more still and more calm than they were before he came in. And I noticed there was more of a loving kind of glow that was going on there. I can remember doing an interview with New Dimensions Radio several years ago, and when I walked into the studio, Michael Toms, who was going to do the interview, had a very low, pleasant voice. He had interviewed some of the greatest spiritual leaders and people of all time, from Buckminster Fuller to many of the Indian gurus to Krishnamurti and people like that. Everybody involved in what they call, quote, the New Age movement, which is a funny name, New Age. I mean, this is ancient kind of truths. When we sat down to talk, there was a real soft music on, and the whole ambiance changed. Just the presence of a peaceful, loving person in a room can do that. A great entertainer has that quality. Frank Sinatra can walk out onto a stage. I watched him in Las Vegas one time, and they just had the light coming down on the stage. And just his walking out there, just his presence there because of the great entertainment quality that he has as a super, superstar, changed the whole complexion, the whole ambience of the room. It's particularly true of highly spiritual people. Maslow described it in Toward a Psychology of Being, that there are some people who have almost godlike qualities or spiritual, very highly spiritual qualities. And when you're around them, you feel as if you're around a saint. And being in their company, whatever it is, whether it's just driving in a car or just talking to them on the telephone or just being in the same room with them, raises the consciousness of the people around them. They're not giving out love. They're not getting it back. They're radiating. It's something that once you get it and understand it, it starts to radiate out from you. When you have that, and anybody has, mothers are very, very good like that with their children. I'll give you an example. I spoke for the Leliche League in Chicago. I was the keynote speaker for their conference. And the Leliche League is an organization for nursing mothers, but it's really much more than that. It's really to try to help raise no-limit children and to raise the consciousness of children. And it's a very peaceful, loving, beautiful organization, always there to help any woman who's ever has nursing problems or problems with child rearing or whatever. I was speaking. Now, the Leliche League has a policy, and I've never had to do this before in my life. There were about 800 women there, mothers, and they also had their babies. They were nursing their babies while I was speaking, and they had toddlers in there. And I'm talking about 400 or 500 children were in the room. you had to talk over this noise. Now, mothers are good at this. I mean, my wife is terrific at this. She can be talking to me and having a perfectly clear conversation and understand everything that I'm saying, and I'll think that she's not listening to me. And she hears everything that I'm saying, even though this one over here is asking for that, and this one is nursing, and that one, because we have a house full of little children. You just learn to do that. So for the women listening to me, it wasn't a problem at all. They were concentrating on me and taking care of their children as well. But 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, and there was a lot of noise and so on, and I wasn't accustomed to that. But I got used to it. I talked for about an hour and 45 minutes. And the first 20 or 25 minutes, I was bothered by it. And then I just transcended it. I made a decision right there on stage that if they could hear me and it was perfectly fine, then I wasn't going to let it bother me. And it just stopped bothering me. But I often do a poem in my speaking. And I got to this part where I was going to do the poem. And I started getting very dramatic in what I was saying. And the audience was very, very much with me. And all of a sudden, as I was just about to do something that was very poignant and required silence, all of the babies got quiet as well. Something happened in the room. It's almost as if it was communicated to all of these people, these tiny little people, and you didn't hear a peep for maybe a minute or two while I did this whole thing. They all stopped crying, the toddlers stopped walking around, and they couldn't understand what I was saying, but there was something communicated there in that moment that is very difficult to define, but is there. And I say to you, try it. Try being that yourself. Try tapping into that universal force that is there. It's there for each one of us, each one of us, no matter who we are, where you are, what your conditions of your life are, whether you're inside a prison or whether you're working as a salesman or you're selling real estate or you're a businessman or a housewife. It doesn't make any difference. You are divine. You are part of the divineness of the universe. Try tapping into that and being that and thinking that, and you're going to see really dramatic shifts take place in your life, and you're not going to be able to explain them. Probably not any better than I'm able to explain them right here. I can't just universally say, this will work if you do this. All I know is that every time people try it, they try the forgiveness route, they try the love route, the things that were problems before aren't even there any longer.